It's great to see you all. You guys excited for the semester to be almost over?
Yes.
How many of you still have a bunch of finals left to go? Not Vincent? Well, I pray for you guys that your finals finish out well. For me, it's definitely that time of year where it's hard to believe that it's almost over. Another year has come and gone by. Isn't it crazy? And we've gotten to see God do a bunch of great things this year. This semester, there's been a lot of great victories. Obviously, we want to keep celebrating Vincent getting baptized last Wednesday. Very exciting. And so God's done a bunch of great stuff. And next week at midweek, we'll get to spend some time celebrating together the victories from over the year of things that God has done. But pretty soon, things are going to be over for the year. We'll get to celebrate Christmas. The Christmas party this Friday is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then New Year's, and then you head into a whole new one again. And it's going to be a good one. So I'm excited about it. You know, our theme this semester has been plugged in. And so, you know, we've had this kind of outlet theme there where we've got three prongs. And when we want to be connected with the power source, we want to be plugged into God, His church, and His calling for us and what He wants to do with our lives. And so last week was kind of the last midweek in our rotation of rotating through those topics. And tonight I want to talk to you about staying plugged in through this winter break. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
You don't want to go, well, we were plugged in for the fall semester, now it's time to unplug, maybe from school, maybe from how early your alarm has been, but we don't want to unplug from God, right? We don't want to unplug from God's family, and we don't want to unplug from our calling as disciples. So I want to talk about staying plugged in over winter break. And the title for my lesson is A By Faith Winter Break.
All right.
So if I ask you in January, how was your winter break? You're going to say, it was by faith. And right now, tonight, as I say, how is your winter break going to be? That you'd say, it's going to be by faith. And that the outcome of your winter break is going to be a faithful outcome.
Amen.
One of not just crawling through it, but a faithful approach to your winter break. You know, you could turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. For the past 2 weeks, I've been reading the book of Hebrews in my quiet times and loving it. I've decided that anytime I'm talking with someone who's considering walking away from God, I'm going to challenge them to sit down and read the book of Hebrews. And if you read that with sincerity and really paying attention, it should convince you to stay faithful. Hebrews is an amazing book in the Bible. And what I realized in chapter 11 is that there's something that God clearly wants to stand out to us. And what God really wants us to get, if you read Hebrews 11, is that He wants us to live by faith. That we be men and women who live by faith. In 31 verses, it says it 23 times.
Wow.
That's pretty, you'd probably get bad marks on an essay if you did that. But the Spirit is trying to make a strong statement here that these men and women in the Bible that it's talking about here, they live by faith. And they set an example for us to live by faith. And so we want to live by faith in general, and you also want to live by faith throughout the winter break. So why is this important to talk about? Why is talking about having a faithful winter break important? Well, it's important because we're in a spiritual battle. And because we're not just in this game, it's a spiritual battle and we have an enemy. And winter break is a time that I believe Satan views as an opportune time to attack God's people. And so here's some scriptures that show that we're in a battle. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, it's talking about a situation that's going on and that you need to deal with it. Why? In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And so Satan is trying to outwit us. He's trying to come up with schemes against us, and we need to be aware of that. Satan is trying to take our faith out. Luke 4:13, Satan tempts Jesus a few times, and then it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So this gives us a window into Satan's scheming and his thinking. It's, well, okay, I tempted him a little bit. Now I'm just going to sit back and wait until the right moment to strike again. And so that's what Satan does to us as well, is he's watching us and he gives us some good days and he's like, here, they let their guard down. I'm going in. Right? And so winter break can be a time where if we're not paying attention, we can let our guards down and we can create an opportune time for Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And what's cool is across the country right now, college students that are disciples are heading into their winter breaks. So this is where Satan is viewing as a whole. This is an opportune time. He's a roaring lion. And so we've got to be aware of that and be prepared for it. And so I think that focusing on, well, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to live by faith. This winter break is going to be a time of faith and walking by faith and being faithful is going to be one of the greatest weapons that you can have against Satan during the winter break. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the armor of God. And one of the pieces of the armor, it says, is faith, which are arrows that we could shoot against Satan. And so we need faith in our arsenal if we're going to fight Satan. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. You know, a lot of the book of Hebrews is convincing a persecuted church to stay faithful, to keep going, to embrace the suffering and the discipline and to grow through it and persevere through it. And then it gets to this chapter where it's like, look, all throughout history of God's people, there have been men and women who have gone through hardship, and what's gotten them through it is living by faith. And so this is an intro to a chapter that's going to be talking about all these great heroes of the faith, people who lived by faith. And it starts off by saying, look, here's what faith is. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you can't see. And as we read this chapter together in a minute, a lot of what that's talking about is faith in a God that you can't see. But you've got this certainty that God is real and that he is there and that he's who he says he is and he's who the Bible says he is and that that's what your faith is. It's in God. And that also part of your faith, what your faith is that you're sure of and you're certain about is that this world we live in is not all that there is. There's also a heaven for us and a kingdom of God that awaits us and a kingdom we get to be part of here as well. And that a lot of our faith is in God's plan and what we get to be part of as part of God's plan. And so, you know, we need faith if we're going to do well throughout the winter break. This is how God answers our prayer. This is how God works through us. It's according to our faith that God is in our lives. And so you don't want to head into winter break naively thinking, oh, I'll just come out fine on the other end. Right? You want to go into this with the plan, being alert, of sober mind, thinking clearly, paying attention, and really coming up with, well, what does this need to look like for me to stay the course, to stay faithful, so that I could be sure of what I hope for on the other side of this, is which I start the new year as a great disciple, ready to go. And so that's what you want, right? So we've got to head into it thinking that way. I will say this, I really believe that it's worth talking about every year, because I do think every year I see two things. One is disciples who head into winter break doing fine and come out of it either not a Christian at all anymore or very seriously struggling in their faith. You know, committed stuff that they're now wrestling with whether to get open or not, or just messes that they've got to deal with, convictions that got weak and stuff like that. And the other thing I see every year is people who were serious about studying the Bible. You know, throughout the semester, you were meeting up every week, you were reading the Bible regularly, you were developing faith and conviction, starting to think about committing your life to God, about making Jesus Lord, about getting baptized, becoming a disciple. Winter break hits, January comes around, and you're just out of the picture. Don't want to study anymore. Don't. And Satan got in there somehow with a family member, a thought, distraction, or laziness, or whatever, and just took the faith away. And so for disciples and people trying to become disciples, I've certainly seen winter break as a time of drifting and a lack of faith. And so you want to head into this thinking, no, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to live by faith. This is going to be a by faith winter break for me. Do you guys want that?
Yeah.
So let's be faithful about it. Faithful in who God is. Faithful in God's power. Faithful and with a conviction. You know, I think faith is two things. It's confidence. It's, no, this is right. This is real. I committed to this. I can keep going. God is with me. And it's also a conviction. No, this is right. How could I leave this? How could I turn away from this? You know, that's what faith really is. And so we want to have a great winter break by faith. Not by fear, not by falling, but by faith. And so one of the ways that we could do that is by staying plugged into the three areas that we've been talking about. Is that you're going to stay plugged into God, plugged into God's people, and plugged into your calling as a Christian. And that you're going to be by faith in those ways. So my 3 points for tonight is that over the winter break, you're going to, and with your life in general, amen, that you're going to be faithful to God, faithful to God's people, and faithful to God's call. That over winter break, you'll stay faithful to those three things. And so I want to read through Hebrews 11, and you're going to see all of those things and more. As we read through this, is faithfulness to God, to God's people, to answering God's call. It took faith to do those things. And I hope that you could be inspired by the lives of faith of these heroes of the scriptures. Before we move on to verse 3, I do want to point out, you know, it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. You know, when God looks back at the Old Testament, what makes him commend someone and go, you are awesome. You are a great example, is whether or not they lived by faith. This is what they were commended for. Noah, Moses, Abraham, Rahab. These people were commendable because they lived by faith, right? And so if you want to come to the end of your winter break, you could be commended for the break or you could be condemned for your break. And you don't want to be condemned for how your break goes, right? And I'm kind of joking there, but really in the grand scheme, when you get to the end of your life, you're either going to be commended as you lived by faith. Or you're going to be condemned as you did not live by faith. You know, we want to live by faith. Faith in God, faith in God's word, and who he's called us to be. So Hebrews 11, verse 3. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them at a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promises. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac believed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, that, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Isn't this amazing? You know, this is the example for us to follow, that we live by faith. We live by faith in an amazing God who has an incredible promise for us. A promise not for this life, but a promise for the next life. And a promise that he has a home in heaven for us. And we're not living to live comfortable here, but we're living to get there with our God and to bring other people there with us. You know, they were living by faith when they died, and we want to be living by faith when we die. You know, when you die, let it be that you died by faith. You were still living by faith when you died. And so we want to follow their example. And one of the big things we see here is that they were faithful to God. And these are going to be three quick points here with a lot of practicals, but we want to be faithful to God. Live by faith in your relationship with God. This winter break, be faithful in your relationship with God. Be faithful to him. Say, God, I am yours and I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to turn to other gods. I'm not going to sin against you. I'm not going to do what displeases you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to live in a way that pleases you. Hebrews 11, verse 6 said that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And with your life, with your winter break, I want to encourage you to earnestly seek God. Earnestly means with sincerity and genuineness and desire and eagerness, that you just have an earnestness to, I want to be close to God. I want to know God better. I want to be with God. That you want to be with him in heaven, but you also want to walk with him here. And you know, part of that is having just quality quiet times. Right, where you, it's not just a, hey, I have quiet times because I'm a disciple, but no, I'm seeking God. And that we know that we seek him through reading his word and through praying to him. That you have dialogue daily over winter break and with the rest of your life. You know, have great quiet times over the winter break. Use the extra time, make the most of the opportunity to connect with God. Have longer quiet times. Pick out topics you want to study out and really try to figure out a great quiet time plan of what you're going to read, what you're going to learn about, what you want to grow in or study out or learn about Jesus more. You know, a great thing to do would be to have some time of just reflection and self-reflection of, man, how did this year go? And what do I want to be for God next year? What weaknesses do I want to see turned to strengths by faith? You know, like it said in Hebrews 11, really setting some goals, some prayers, some dreams for next year. And be having quiet times and talking to people about those things over the winter break, right? As people are thinking about New Year's resolutions, let's be thinking about spiritual New Year's revolutions. What are some revolutions, some spiritual New Year's repentance that's going to be in my life? Some serious change in my walk with God and in the way that I live for him. You know, have some quality times with God over winter break. And along with that, I want to say that over winter break, be faithful to God by being righteous. Part of seeking God is seeking righteousness. You know, that you want to be holy over winter break. I love what it says about Noah. It said, in holy fear, he built the ark. You know, we should live our lives in a reverent fear, a holy fear. Man, we have God dwelling inside of us. And I want to live a life where it says about them that God was pleased to say, these are my people. Right? Where he sees that we're living a life trying to please him, a life of righteousness, of holiness. And so I want to encourage you to let these holidays to be holy days. Nice. That's where the term even comes from. Holidays stems from the idea of it being holy days. And so don't let the time of holidays be an opportunity to sin. Let it be an opportunity to grow in your holiness. Man, with this extra time, I'm going to do even better in my purity than I've ever done before. With this extra time, I am going to just slay my laziness. I was saying, you thought I was going to be even lazier during winter break. Forget it. You know, or man, my lack of persistence with connecting with other disciples. There's less meetings of the body. We'll do even better in it. You know, whatever weaknesses you see in your character or your life or your walk with God, let winter break be a time to grow in your holiness, living in holy fear of God. Part of that is some preparedness of foreseeable temptation and challenges. All right, I would encourage you to spend time this week thinking about, over winter break, what do I think might be some of Satan's schemes for me? You know, what are the things I could be tempted with? You know, a lot of common things are idleness, laziness, purity, debauchery, being selfish or greedy, having a greedy spirit about Christmas or about the cultural vibe of this time of year of getting things and getting what you want, or complaining. You know, these are all common struggles I think Satan works through the winter break. You know, and so think about, which of those do you think you might struggle with? You know, I want to encourage you to have a talk with someone about what ways you think Satan will likely tempt you, so that you can help each other, pray for each other, follow up with each other as the break goes on. You know, think about maybe people you might be around or have an opportunity to be around. There might be family members or friends coming back from college that you want to spend time with, but you got to think about, well, wait a second, I became a Christian since we last hung out. They're probably going to want to hang out like this, and I need to make sure it's not going to be like that. And you got to think ahead of time about what sort of gatherings that you might be walking into before you go walking into them. You might have ex-boyfriend or girlfriends around or different things like that. And I just want to encourage you to be wise about the environments that you put yourself in. Okay? Get advice about it. You know, Proverbs 11:14, amongst many others, says, wage war by obtaining advice. Right? And it goes on to say that, by not doing so, nations fall. So if a whole nation can fall for not getting advice, what can make us think that we're going to stay strong without getting advice? You know, a whole country can fall. So what are you, right? Yeah. Really, like, get advice. Like, hey, this friend's coming back. They want me to, what do you think? Or, hey, I got, you know, I'm really think I'm going to struggle with purity. What do you think I can, like, get advice about, here, I want to do well in this area. Help me out. You know, you got to think about this stuff. You know, if you're going home to be with a family that are not disciples, especially in that situation, get advice ahead of time about, well, how should I talk to them about what church I'm going to go to on Sunday? And what should I tell my family if they're thinking like, wow, so you read your Bible a lot now, huh? And like, how should I handle these situations, or if persecution happens or whatever? Just get advice about this stuff as much as you can ahead of time. And the last thing I want to say before I move on is, if you're studying the Bible right now, keep seeking God over winter break. If right now you're studying the Bible to become a Christian, if you've been studying out discipleship, repentance, don't let winter break be a time of just hiatus, right? Really, let winter break be when you become a Christian. And I'll never forget 4 years ago or whatever, baptizing Joey Lee at our New Year's Eve party. You know, and just what a great moment that was. And so, you know, if you're studying the Bible, don't let winter break be a time where you pause. Keep seeking God earnestly over the winter break. Just because classes stop doesn't mean that you need to stop studying the Bible. And so keep seeking God and developing your relationship with him. For all of us, the goal should be to come out of winter break even closer in our walk with God than we were going into it. So I want to encourage you, with your life, with winter break, live by faith in your relationship with God. Be faithful to God over winter break. Amen? Amen. Secondly, faithful to God's people. I've not been keeping up with this. Okay. There we go. Faithful to God's people. You know, over winter break and with your life in general, you don't want to just say, well, God, I'm faithful to you, but your people, I don't really want to be so connected with them. You got to realize that this is, like we've talked about, your spiritual family. And we need to have a high level of commitment and of really like just loyalty to one another. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. I will be there for you, and I actually will be. And we're going through this together. You want to be faithful to God's people. Faithful, not separated, but together, right? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. This whole book in 1 Thessalonians, a great theme in these is just love and relationships. And I'll read this one verse and you can write down the other to read if you feel like this is something you really need to grow in. But just listen to their heart here. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters. Pause. We all ought always thank God for each other. And that's something I encourage you to do regularly in your prayer times. Thank God for your fellow brothers and sisters. That's the mindset we should have. And it says, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. And if you read the 1 Thessalonians passage, you'll see twice in there, it combined this idea of faith and love for one another. A big part of being faithful to God is being faithful in love to his people. And that we need to love each other in a way that's ever increasing. Your love for each other is increasing. And so over winter break, we don't want to see a decrease in our love for one another. We want to see an increase in our love for one another. Amen? You know, these things go hand in hand. And so when you're heading into a battle, it goes a lot better if you go in it together. Yeah. It helps a lot to have people on your side. You know, the other day, when was this? Last Thursday? Chelsea and I just think it was a rough day, just long week. And we were starting to just get really tired and getting kind of irritable with each other. And Tyler was being a handful. Bradley was being a handful. And we're both kind of just, let's just kind of like tag team this. And you handle one, I handle the other, you know? And things, you know, it was just some, it wasn't an encouraging environment. Things were just stressful. And so things felt like they were escalating. And it was heading towards bedtime, which when you have kids one day, you'll recognize that this is one of those glorious moments in the day. And so it's like, oh, we're almost done, you know? And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to give Bradley a bath. And so Chelsea's feeding Tyler and whatever. And then I take Bradley, undress him, put him in the bathtub, turn on the water. All of his toys are in there. And immediately he just starts pooping like a lot. He just like, and it just starts coming out. And I felt like this is the peak for me right here. So the water's coming out, and then he sits down and he's trying to touch it, and I'm just holding him. And I didn't want to pick him up because it was still coming out. And so I'm like, come on, and I'm yelling, Chelsea, Chelsea, Bradley's pooping, and she puts Tyler down and runs in. And then next thing you know, we're just laughing together. And we thought he was done, and then we're both like, it smells so bad. And then I'm like, I got stuff to start scooping it up with, and she's just holding him. And then out of nowhere, he went a little bit more, and it just like shot out onto a bunch of the toys. And then we're like, now we have to wash all of the, and then so I take him out, and I'm cleaning him. Chelsea's just disinfecting all the toys, the tub. And it was just so funny because it ended up making us just laugh together, and it kind of like resolved all of the frustration in a weird way. And we laughed about it, and we were like, you know, sometimes maybe it takes coming together to fight something to kind of really beat Satan. You know, we felt like Satan was building up some tension, and then when we finally worked together on something was when we feel like we kind of broke out of this just discouraging cycle. And you know, when you're dealing with something, it can help you break out of it by pulling other people in to help you. So in this analogy, Bradley is not Satan, the poop is Satan. So let me just make that clear. So Satan's gonna try to do stuff, and you wanna pull each other in. And so I wanna encourage you, stay as tied in as you possibly can over winter break. If you're going home somewhere, make sure you know where you're going to church with other disciples and that you call them ahead of time and get connected. But for all of us, we wanna stay tied in. And you know, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, right? Let's think about how can we spur one another on, encourage one another, and not give up meeting together, but keep meeting together, right? And so, you know, be active in the group me and talking together. That helps build a relationship. And having quiet times together, prayer phone calls with each other. You know, you can keep having discipling times over winter break, right? Or just meeting up with fellow brothers and sisters. And anything you're dealing with, just confess it right away, right? Not waiting until the next meeting of the body, but, you know, confess so that you don't come back a mess next semester, right? Really get things out. Get things dealt with so you could start strong instead of, guys, here's how my winter break was. You know, like, let's get it out, get it dealt with, get help. You know what's going on over the winter break. We won't have midweek December 27th, but we do next week, and we will January 3rd. We got the Christmas party this Friday. You know, we'll be sending out the weekly emails still. Church is at Clifton High School on Sundays. You could plan hangouts, dates, all sorts of stuff. And one other exciting thing going on is Matt had a great idea that January 3rd and January 10th, Wednesdays, before midweek from 5 to 7, we're going to do a little bit of Bible study training on January 3rd about how to lead the Seeking God and the Word of God study. And then on January 10th, you could come and we'll do some training on how to lead a Jesus study and the discipleship study. And so just some time for growth and equipping. So when you start the spring semester, you're like, hey, now I know how to lead these studies, or I feel more prepared. So don't have to come, but if you want to come early for midweek, come 5 to 7 o'clock. We'll be doing that on January 3rd and 10th. But there's going to be plenty of opportunities to be tied in, but just create even more and connection, phone calls, texting, hanging out together. Stay plugged in. Be faithful to God's people over the break. You know, let's have our love for one another increase, not decrease over the break. And lastly, faithful to God's call. You know, God's called us to live as disciples, to share His word, to serve others. And you don't want to let winter break be a time where you go, well, I'm not on that job anymore, so I'll get back to you, God. Discipleship is, right, Luke 9, follow me how often? Daily. And so that includes over Jesus' birthday. So Matthew 5, right, talks about you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so you got to realize God has called you to be a light to the world. And so during winter break, that should be one of our objectives is I want to be faithful to God's call. What's God's call? For us to be the light of the world. That we share God with others, but also we do good deeds, we serve others, and we really fight the culture of the world, which is selfish and evil, by being a light to the world. And so I want to encourage you, be a light while you're at home extra. Like during winter break, you'll probably be at home more than normal. So head into it thinking, this might feel like a dark place, but I'm going to be a light there. Or maybe it's a household of Christians. You're like, it is a light here, but I'm going to make it even brighter. You know, and that you head home over winter break thinking and planning on ways to engage your family spiritually or ways to serve your family. And that you want to be really tied in with your family over winter break. You know, something I want you to think about. Is there a friend that will be back home or a family member that you know you'll see over winter break that this would be a great opportunity to reach out to them? To try to have a spiritual conversation with them. And if there's anybody, I want you to write their name down right now. It could be a friend coming back from college or a family member, a cousin or something you know you're going to see. And maybe you could set a by faith goal of, I want to try to talk to this person about God over winter break. And then maybe when you know that talk's about to happen, you could write in the group me, hey guys, pray for me. I'm about to share with my cousin. They're coming over for dinner today. And then we can see how it goes. You know, but be thinking about that. You might not be on campus as much, but we could still be sharing the gospel with people over winter break. You know, and I also want to say this, if you're a disciple and your family are disciples, you might not have to go think I need to evangelize to them, but maybe you feel like your family, although you're all Christians, you don't have a whole lot of spiritual interaction with each other. And so maybe think, you know what, over winter break, I want to have a few quiet times with my dad. Or maybe me and my sister, or me and my brother. Like if you have family members that are disciples, maybe you're not thinking I got to share my faith with them, but maybe share your life with them, right? And try to have some spiritual prayer time together or a group quiet time or something like that together. You know, how else can you be faithful to God's call at home? I would encourage you to be a problem solver, a peacemaker, not somebody who's a problem agitator and contributor. You know, I know for me, when I'm back home around holidays, spending extra time with my family, I could get back into my old Rob self that just like argues, just to argue. And my mom and I are like-minded in this. And I could feel it like it just, you know, and I've got to be like, no, like I get to be a peacemaker at home. I want to help build unity. I want to help solve problems, not be an antagonizer. You know, that will help your family to see a powerful difference in who you are. You know, the attitude. Think about the attitude that you have at home over winter break. And we want to be a light in our attitude, where we're not complaining a lot or arguing, but we're encouraging, we're joyful. Maybe you're usually really just isolated when you're home. You're just kind of doing your own thing. Maybe decide to go be giving with your family. Instead of just playing video games in the room, like go hang out with your family and spend time with them and be giving. Be loving. You know, and I will say this, obviously none of us are going to be perfect. And I think one of the ways that you could still be a light even when you mess up is by apologizing. And so if you're home and you do maybe start to argue a little, or you slip and you're a little short-tempered with your brother or your mom, one way you could still be a light is by, instead of being prideful about it and not acknowledging it or just being, well, I'm right, go back and say, you know what, I'm really sorry that I used that tone with you. I love you, and I definitely don't want to argue with you. I'm just really happy to be home with you. You know, and try to be think, I want to be a problem solver. I want to be a peacemaker at home. I want to be a servant. I'm not just going to be there and be lazy and selfish. I want to help out with things. I'm going to try to help with the garbage, with setting up, with playing with the siblings, help with dishes. Let your family see, man, did Jesus move in here? You know, like something is different about this person. And that you're really being a light while you're at home. With all that, that doesn't mean that you're weak in your convictions. It doesn't mean that you're, you got to still stand for truth, stand for convictions. If your family are not Christians or different environments, you want to be a peacemaker, a light, a servant, but you also want to make sure that you hold to your convictions. And that's part of being a light too, is not compromising, right? And I know that it meant something to even like my mom when I would show some form of new conviction when I was a young Christian home for the first time. And I think she remembers me having an alcoholic drink with her one Christmas as a 18-year-old, not okay. And then the next Christmas saying, no, that's illegal, I don't drink alcohol. And being like, well, why not? You did last year, what's the big deal? And being like, well, no, it's wrong, and I don't do that now. And maybe getting in a little bit of a thing there, but it was not like I'm just going to roll over on my convictions to keep the peace or something. So you're wanting to be a peacemaker, but also making sure that you're staying at peace with God and sticking to your convictions as well. Does that make sense? That's a big way to be a light. And you know, lastly, I'll say, don't give up on people that you've been reaching out to. You know, if you've been reaching out to somebody, don't let winter break come and go, I'll just go back to reaching out to them in the spring. That's a month from now. You know, like keep the relationship going. If they're going away somewhere, try to get them plugged in. Maybe do Skype Bible studies. I've done that with people over holidays before, is doing Bible studies over, you know, Google Video or Skype, or just texting. Hey, are you still reading the Bible? What are you reading? How's it going with your family? Is it good being home? Whatever. And just staying in touch. If people are nearby, continuing to have Bible studies. Don't give up on people just because it's the break. And obviously, we could still see people become Christians over winter break. So we want to be faithful in our call to God. You don't want to let winter break or anything in life be a reason that stops you from being faithful in what God's called you to. He's called you to be a light to the world, and so you don't want to let anything stop you from being that. Hebrews 11 was full of great examples of people who didn't let anything stop them from answering God's call. It's full of a lot of people who didn't let anything stop them from their faithfulness to God, who they decided, you know what, I don't care I'm going through this, I'm living for somewhere else, for someone else. They saw him who was invisible, right? And we also see in there people who were faithful to God's people, who said, look, I'd rather be mistreated with the church than to leave the church and go enjoy pleasures of this life. These are God's people, these are my people. I love what it said about Moses in there. Yeah. It's convicting, it's inspiring. And so I want to encourage you, stay plugged in by being faithful in these three ways. And I want to close out with one little illustration here, and then a little thing for you to write down to help yourself. A really powerful winter break illustration for me is when Chelsea and I moved into our house 2 years ago. So Chelsea and I moved into our house we didn't move in. We got our house right as winter break was starting. And what was amazing to me was the transformation in a short period of time with this little bit of extra free time I was able to have because of winter break, of what my house looked like from when I got it to around the end of the year, the first week of January when we moved in. This is two very different homes. I'll show you. How many of you have been to my house?
Yep.
Okay. That's crazy. So that's encouraging. So when we got our house, this is what the living room looked like. So you got these old school shades. The entire house was covered in... Guys, when we got this house, I was like, Chelsea, don't worry, we could turn this around, all right? I was like, I got the vision. We'll change it. We'll get rid of these curtains first thing. So I kept the TV. No, not really. So that was a living room. This is Bradley's room. This is where we have our gray couch right there and the stools and counter here. This is the sunroom. This is that back sunroom off the kitchen. Really nice rug. This is the kitchen, looking back into that room. This is where the counter now is, and the, you know, the stools are here, and my Christmas tree's here right now. So that was the state of my house when we got it. And so I was like, look, it's winter break. Came up with a plan. What do we want to fix? What do we want to try to take care of? Wallpaper, rugs, paint. Dad, could you come fix the plumbing because the tub leaks and the electric box outside is broken? And we would also like to cut out this hole here. And so, kid you not, I went 4 days in a row where me, my dad, and my uncle probably slept about 3 or 4 hours. I drank 3 or 4 large coffees each day. And we just 24/7. And a lot of people came over to help us. And so we were working on stuff. This is the way that I was like, we're supposed to live here in 2 weeks. This is the way that our living room area looked. My dad and my uncle working with us. My mom and I taking down wallpaper, which takes forever and is miserable. After taking down the wallpaper, the people before us had tons of holes in the wall. So I had to do tons of spackling and sanding. Ripping up the carpets, there was thousands of nails holding the carpets down. So we had to one by one take pliers and just rip. How many of you helped take nails out of my floor? All right. I remember a lot of you there for a long time. Then after the floors are done, I know some of you came over to help wash the floors. I know I remember Anifa and Jessica coming over, I think, and different people. Is that right? Yeah, it's all good. So, you know, then I didn't want to pay to get rid of the rugs, so I cut them into 2 by 3 foot strips, fit them into enough garbage bags that I went out and I put some outside here. And my garbage and a few of my neighbors' garbages early in the morning, and it was all gone in one night. And so I cut it all up in this. This is up to the light switch, if you could see. This was a tall stack of rugs. And so this was all done. Guys, this was like 2 weeks, not even. And so I was just blown away at the end of this, like, wow, look how much different. And I was gonna put up pictures of the way it looks now, because obviously we've got furniture finally and people have given us stuff and we've done more work and different things like that. But these pictures right now that I'll show are just from after those 2 or 3 weeks of winter break, just doing a few things. And so by the end of that 2 or 3 weeks, we had our stuff set up in our kitchen. The kitchen was painted. We had the back room painted. Matt's mom gave us some couches and we got some other stuff in there from people. Bradley's room was painted and we were like, okay, we could get ready to get this set up for him now because that's looking a lot better. The main living room area, the floors were cleaned up. We had the cutouts, the walls painted. Wow. Now we still didn't put the counter in, but that was all cut out. The house was tremendously different in just 2 or 3 weeks. How? From putting some effort into it, maximizing the use of free time, and from having a vision and a plan, from working hard, and from getting help from other people. And so I hope that this could be an inspiration to you, that what was done to my house over winter break can be done to your spiritual house over winter break. That wherever you're at right now spiritually, in just a short time, if you use the time right, if you put effort into it and you get help from other people, that a miraculous transformation can happen very quickly. You could come out of winter break much further in your walk with God, in your growth, in some area than you think you can. You know, a lot more can happen than you think you can if you use the time well, you put in effort, and you get help from people. So to close out, I want to encourage you to write down a couple by faith statements for yourself. And maybe you want to write some more later or write them later. At least write down, make a note to do this or do it right now. But here's what I'd like you to write is 3, 5, however many you want to do. Just like Hebrews 11, what would you like to read about you by the end of the winter break? By faith, Rob persevered when tempted with frustration at his family's Christmas party. By faith, Rob had a great spiritual talk with his brother who's now going to start studying the Bible. By faith, Rob had an hour of quiet time every day and grew in his walk with God. You know, like write some by faith statements of what you'd like to see happen in your walk with God, in your relationships in the church, in your calling as a disciple. And then talk to somebody about them, pray about them, and come up with a plan of how you could see those things happen. Transformation, just like what you saw with my house. Would that be inspiring? Think about some victories. Think about maybe things you want to persevere in. By faith, I stayed pure all of winter break. By faith, right? And think about some stuff like that. Share it with somebody. I really think that we're in a room of today's modern day heroes of the faith. That right now, we can be, if we choose to be, the children that grow to become, as our life progresses, the Abrahams, the Moseses, the Noahs. But that will happen only as we live by faith. And so we need to be faithful to God, faithful to God's people, faithful to God's call. Over winter break, but really with our lives as well. God's calling us to live lives by faith. How do I live? I live by faith. God can get me through this. This might seem like a big sacrifice, but I believe God's going to provide for me. This might seem stupid, but I have conviction, and so I'm going to stick to it by faith that God's going to work it out. We need to be people who live by faith and who live faithful to God, to each other, and to our calling. So I can't wait to see what God does by your by faith statements. I'm excited to hear the good news, the victories. And I'm very excited, too, to see not the physical picture, but the spiritual picture of what each of us look like by the end of this upcoming winter break. Yeah. Guys, let's have a by faith winter break and really finish it with some great victories. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Yeah.